It's now time for Nature's Pulse on Dublin City FM 103.2, the program that helps to bring positive changes in your life. My name is Marie-Angeline Lascaux, and you can find out more about this program by visiting our website www.yoga-healing.com, email springintolife@yoga-healing.com, or text 086-824-2033. And today, live in the studio, is Aidan Storrow, who is back since so many of you texted us and emailed that you enjoyed the last show we did with him a while back and you wanted him to come back and tell us more about the angels. So here he is again to tell us about the angels and how they helped him to work through his life and bring a lot of positive energy. And now in turn, he's helping you to find your own angel and work with them. So welcome back to the studio, Aidan.
Thank you so much for inviting me back, Marie-Angeline. It's lovely to be back.
As somebody who works with angels, you obviously have had to work through a lot of self-doubt.
Oh, huge amount.
To come out into the streets of Dublin, the radio station, the television stations, and in a book, and to say, I can see angels, I'm working with angels, can be a very difficult thing to do.
It was a very difficult thing to do. And I suppose my love for the angels, and I spoke before about my love affair with the angels, you know, they did give me the strength and they did give me the means to do it. And I did do it gently. You know, a lot of people are only becoming aware of me now and think, you know, that it was all a lovely, easy journey to get to the stage of being happy, being a healer. But my friends, and a lot of my friends, actually one of my friends in Wexford christened me the reluctant healer because I was so reluctant to come out. I mean, I was told at 7 I was a healer. I met this man, a friend of my father's in Wexford, and he shook hands with me and he said to my dad, "You know, you've a very strong healer there. You want to look after him." And we got into the car and it was never discussed again. It was something that, you know, did go around in my head. I suppose, like many healers out there, many years later I started going for healings. I mean, people know about my background. And every healer I went to said to me, "You're a healer." And I know I was seeing with my angels. My angels were telling me I need to go out and do it. And I was going, no, I don't want to be outside my comfort zone. I think in particular for men in those days, there weren't a lot of men out there on the circuit saying they could see angels or work with angels. The one thing I did learn since my book came out, the number of men that are reading the book and saying, you know, "Oh, thank God there's another man there that can see these angels."
Mm.
But to go out and do and to pick up, you know, the baton and say, "Look, I'm a healer," it took me a long, long time.
And what comes to my mind is that a beautiful piece of writing from Marianne Williamson, which has been accredited to Nelson Mandela, "Who am I to be gorgeous and successful, etc., etc., and who are you not to be?" And I think for a lot of people in the healing field, it's a little bit of battle with ego, and it can work both ways, because sometimes you can have an inflated ego and say, "Well, I am able to do this, I'm able to do that," and I think the minute you identify with it, you lose it, because the whole thing is that we are being channeled.
Yes.
We're not doing it, we're being channeled. Yeah. So the channel needs to be clear. But there's the other side of the ego saying, "Well, who am I to do this? Like, I'm nobody."
Mm-hmm. Well, this at my workshops, and particularly with Reiki and angel therapy that I teach, I always do maintain, look, this has nothing to do with you. It's God's energy and God's light that's coming through. Your angels are assisting you and your higher masters or whoever you're working with. But the energy comes from God, not from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to get to that realization before you become comfortable with it. But at the very early stage, as you say, ego is a great thing. And there's two egos. There's the higher ego who says, "I do it." And there's the lower ego who says, you know, "I am not worthy to do it."
Yes.
and one is as bad as the other. Like, you know, it prevents you. Mm. One prevents you from doing a really good job. And one stops you completely from doing anything. And I think I would have suffered a lot from the lower.
Yeah, that's what it seemed from your book, that you were really struggling and you say, well, you know, and who am I to do this? And I think also that maybe some of it could be the memory of, I mean, people talk about past life, whether you believe in past life or the community consciousness. Mm-hmm. But in the past, certainly people who did healing were burned at the stake, etc., etc. And this is not that long ago.
No.
And there is also, even in modern life, I have seen the changes, even in the time since I came to Ireland in 1992 to this time, how society has changed and is much more accepting now of the healing field. But in the early 90s and mid-90s, you were some kind of weird person if you were doing healing work.
You were really weird. And, you know, women were great with each other. At least they recognized and they helped and they supported each other.
Mm-hmm.
Men were afraid to go into it. I remember being the only man at workshops and training. For years, I was called a token man at most of the shops.
There's still a minority, I have to say, but it's coming
improving.
Up. Yes.
I mean, you get more than one or two men at each workshop now.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose maybe the males feel more comfortable coming to me, so maybe I would have a little bit more than the average mm-hmm. at the workshops. And the number of men that have come for signings of the book, it's really amazing. And who've said, you know, you've changed my life, now I know. I think we're all reluctant at certain stages to go and do what we're meant to do. With conversations with my angels, what they said to me was, but it's your very unworthiness that makes you worthy. You know, that you are leaving your ego out of it because you are admitting it's not you.
And I think that that's very beautiful and it's very essential because I have actually witnessed over the years people who started with good intention and then somehow got caught into, gosh, I'm doing wonderful work and identifying with it. I mean, who am I to judge? But it seems to me that the work they do now doesn't have as much depth and quality, in my view, as when they were a little bit maybe more humble.
Yes, and what we have to remember, this is a sacred tool we're working with. It's, you know, it's a sacred healing. It's not willy-nilly. You know, you have to take it very seriously. I always teach that on all my courses. It's not a party piece you're doing.
It's not about making money. The money may come to support you because you need to be supported, but it's not a business in that sense.
It's not a business. Sometimes you have to treat it a bit like a business because you have to do your diary and things like that. But it's a sacred, sacred healing. You know, and it's been handed down through the years. And you are working with the energy of God, and it has to be respected. You know, it appalls me sometimes when I see people out. You know, you could be at a party and going, oh, you need a bit of healing. And they start putting your hands on, and they haven't prepared. They have alcohol. You're in totally in an environment where you can't do it. It's done in the privacy and of your sacred space. And that's where it should be carried out. The angels are great for kind of showing you that it's not from you too, because I've often done healings and, you know, would be going around the plinth doing the hands on healing going, God, what's happening? I'm not really feeling anything, picking up on anything. And, you know, you can kind of hear them go, Then the client gets up from the plinth and goes, you know, that was the best healing I've ever had. I've experienced so much through it and during it. And that's what brings it home to me then. Oh, look, sure, I'm forgetting again. It's nothing to do with me.
No, yeah. Also, sometimes people getting off the plinth and they say, oh, I could feel like six pairs of hands on me, or I could feel you at my feet. Well, actually, you were at their head at that time or something like that. So that's, again, the proof that even some people who don't believe in angels can actually feel those extra hands on them.
Yeah, and I always find that with people who come who are a little bit reluctant, or maybe the wife sent them, or, you know, the girlfriend sent, particularly men, for me, they'd get up and they'd go, God, I thought there was about six people around me at that stage. And somehow it really convinces them that, you know, there is something happening. Now, of course, you and I know there is
something
always something
deeper.
Happening. It's sacred, and I think people have to remember it's sacred, and it's not a party piece. But it does come from God. My old saying is, we are an empty vessel, and through us pours the light of God to bring healing to others. But it took me a long time to realize, you know, that I was worthy to do this work.
In the healing field, there are these days so many workshops, so many facilitators. I remember in the early days, it was hard to find a workshop, but now it's still hard for different reasons. Is there so much on offer? How do we choose the right one? Or friends tell you one thing or the other thing, and you may end up going to workshop, as you did sometimes, and I did as well, and found that some of the workshop were a waste of time and energy for you or for me, and yet they may not have been for other participants.
I think for myself in the early days, because I was so eager to learn, to find out all I could, as a lot of us do. I had met up with new friends who were very into this work, or clients that would come to me even, and they would say, I was out with such a great healer the other day, you know, you should really go. And sure, you know, I'd be only out the door and I'd be on the phone making an appointment to see them. And I'd go. And I would feel nothing. I'd be coming away disappointed. Coming home in the car one day, and the angel said to me, but you don't listen. You didn't need that. There's nothing wrong with that healer. That healer just was not for you. The energy that that healer works with, the kind of problems and issues that that healer is really good at dealing with, you don't have.
That,
you
know? That's a good point, I think. I think that each one of us would have a speciality.
Yes.
That certain people will be drawn to you, certain people will be drawn to me. And there's usually some themes, recurring themes that come back that you specialize in, that I specialize in. And as you said rightly, some workshops are not for you.
For you, no. I think with workshops in particular, I think you really do need to know the facilitator, whether they're a practitioner, go to them for something. They're Reiki or aromatherapy or whatever they do, and they're teaching that course. I think it's very good. Go, have at least one healing from them, to know that you have a good relationship, you have a bond with them, you have an energy that's nice for learning. Because remember, you're going to be learning, particularly with Reiki, and that, you know, where you have your masters, where you're going to be connected with them really for the rest of your life on some level. It is very important that you know them, that you're comfortable with them, that the therapy that you're going to learn, that you actually like receiving it as a client.
And that you like their approach as well.
Yes, because if you don't, I've gone to courses in the early days and wondered, why am I here? I would never do this therapy in a million years. And again, what I had to realise was it's nothing to do with the therapist. It was to do with me. It wasn't for me. And that this is what the angel said to me again and again. You're not everybody's healer, but nor is everybody that's doing healing out there your healer either. So yes, I really do agree with that statement that we all specialise in something and can't be good at everything too. The people who go to every workshop, and they don't allow anything to absorb. They know a little about everything, but you're really master of nothing.
Of none, yeah. But the end, also, you know? I think there is an integration. I mean, what good is it to learn things from book and workshop unless you're able to apply it to your everyday life? Even if you have read only one book in your whole life, but you're really putting this in practice. Mm-hmm. You're doing a lot more than if you're doing a workshop every weekend and not practicing any of it.
It's very strange because, you know, for those who have read the book, they will see that the first Reiki master I went to, I just could not connect with. And the minute I met Mary at a fair and I shook her hands. And the minute I met her, I knew this was the lady that was to teach me Reiki.
So that's a good point as well, that sometimes it's a question of chemistry as well. That it's, for example, you mentioned Reiki, it can be yoga, it can be Tai Chi, it can be anything. Just because you don't like a certain teacher's approach, for whichever reason, which has nothing to do with the teacher, don't let that put you off that therapy. Maybe try a different teacher or a different facilitator. You may find that they are just your cup of tea, so to speak.
And like it is a case of kind of shopping around a little bit. If you're going to go and study something, don't be afraid to go to a therapist today for Reiki. Go to me for Reiki and then go to someone else and see, well, you know, maybe I like that other person better. Maybe I have a better bond with that person. Maybe I felt the Reiki better from them.
Or maybe the issue I need to work with, they can help.
I deal a lot with abuse because that's my background. I deal a lot with relationships. That's my background. They would be the really strong ones, and career. They're my three kind of really strong healing points that I find people are coming again and again and again. That's what I would see myself specialising in. And again, you do find, I'm sure you find the same, that you know your regular clients, you know the ones that are going to bond with you. But anyone who does Reiki with me or angel therapy with me, the request is that they first come and have a healing so that they know I'm for them and that I know they're for me
teacher.
As well.
Yes. Or I remember that in the early days, one day I just put my hands up in the air and say, please only send me people I can work with, because it's very difficult to work with people that you feel they're not open to you. It's much easier. There's enough people around, as you say, so please only send us people that we can work with, and then at least we can help them. We're not wasting their time or ours. Well, and the other people will find the right teacher for them.
This is where I learned my big mistake, because when I was in the early days, people, my regular clients, asked me, did I do gift vouchers? And of course, being eager for clients, I went, no, but I can. Gift vouchers just didn't work for me. The people that they gave the gift vouchers for really didn't really want to come to me.
Yes, they didn't connect.
They came and I felt I was doing them a great injustice, to be quite honest. And that's why now I would never give a gift. I don't do gift vouchers or anything like that. And I always say to people, no, if that person wants to come,
they have to
pick up the phone and make the appointment themselves. Because that's part of the healing as well, recognising I do want a healing or I do need a healing. So they have to pick up. And another thing is that I never do. I would never kind of, when my clients come, even my regulars, and they go, can I make an appointment now for next Wednesday? And I go, no, go home. Ring me.
Digest it first.
See how you are. Mm-hmm. Sit with it. You may not need one next Wednesday. You may need one Tuesday, but you may not need it Wednesday, and you might need it for another month. Go home and think about it. And, you know, I will always fit you in. And that's a great, what you just said, sit and digest, particularly with workshops as well. You know, don't go to a workshop every Saturday because you're not learning anything. You're not digesting it. You're not allowed to sink in. We can become a little bit addicted to them, really, particularly at the start. We want to know everything. I'm saying this as someone who did it.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, please don't do it.
And it's good to have your main teacher, because if you have too many teachers, you might kind of feel a little bit distracted.
You know, you can't have a load of masters.
Mm.
And you will find, too, that people teach things in different ways as well. And you get really confused by the whole thing. Take it gently. It's supposed to be a gentle therapy. That's what, you know, holistic work is all about. It's all about being good to you, allowing things to absorb in, taking away kind of the blocks and the barriers. But if you're doing too much, you're not doing that. You're still preventing the healing from taking place. You can OD on healings too.
So we're going to go into a guided meditation. Make yourself as comfortable as you can possibly be, perhaps sitting in your favorite armchair or even lying down. Close your eyes, allow your eyes to relax into their sockets. And allow all the muscles of your face to soften and relax. Especially widening and softening the space just above and between your eyebrows. Softening your nose, your ears, your chin. Softening your lips, your cheeks, your jaws. Making sure your lips are slightly parted to release your jaws, and allowing your tongue to rest softly in your mouth. Let yourself sink more comfortably in the armchair or the chair that you're sitting on, or if you're lying down, just let your body release itself into that support. So letting go of any holding in your body. Just feeling that sensation of being held gently. And gradually you bring your awareness to the breath. Not trying to breathe in a specific way, but simply witnessing the regular rhythm of the breath in and out of your body. And as you breathe in prana, life energy. You can visualize it as a river of light flowing through your whole being. Your whole body filled with light. Your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body and your spiritual body. Feel that light flowing through your whole body. It can be any color that comes to your mind. Or it can be crystal clear. Just allow yourself to experience. You can see it, feel it, imagine it. Trust that this light is there in each and every cell of your body. And allow it to spread beyond the boundaries of your physical body into the energy field around you, in front of you, at both sides, right and left, at your back, above your head and below your feet. So you're completely filled and surrounded with light. You can of course choose to stay in this sacred place as long as you need to. And when the time has come for you to return to your daily activities, take your time, allow your breath to deepen. Bring your awareness back to your physical body, your position in the room. Bring some movement back into your fingers and toes. Move your head from side to side. Stretch your arms, your legs, your spine. Stretch your whole body. And when you feel ready, open your eyes to a new moment. This is Marie-Angeline Lascaux on Nature Space on Dublin City FM 103.2, the program that helps to bring positive changes in your life. Remain for me to thank my guest today, Aidan. It was an absolute pleasure talking to you. Tune in again next Friday at 11 o'clock to find out how you can bring positive changes in your life. Visit our website, www.yoga-healing.com, email springintolife@yoga-healing.com or text 086-824-2033. Until next week, have a wonderful time.